Hi everyone, welcome back to Coffee and Crime with me, Colette.
And me, Izzy.
For this week's episode, I was having a dilemma because, I don't know, I wanted to do something different because last week I did Ed Kemper, who's, or not last week, but my last one was Ed Kemper, who's obviously like really famous. And part of me was like, do I do Jeffrey Dahmer? But then I was like, I can't do two famous people in a row.
I think that's one to save for the future.
Yeah. So I did another famous person because I have no original ideas. So basically, I decided I wanted to do a cult. I don't know how I came to that decision, but I did.
Nice, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'll do Manson. And then I was like, no, because I got you a book all about Manson. Yeah. So I feel like that should be your expertise at some point. But I put a Twitter poll up asking if people wanted to see the Matamoros suicide cult, or
do you think I've heard of that?
It's interesting, so I might do that as like a future,
yeah, that's good.
Or if they wanted to see the Jonestown thing. And originally I was like, I'm never gonna do Jonestown because there's an entire Jonestown podcast. There's like two, I think.
Oh, wait, really?
There's like, it's done on nearly every murder podcast. But then I was like, you know what?
It's because it's interesting.
Yeah, apparently. I'm not going to be independent.
I wouldn't know because I don't know anything about it, so that's good.
And one person originally voted in the poll for the Jonestown. And because we don't have that many followers, I was like, oh, probably not going to get many more. So I started researching it and did all my notes. But then we ended up getting two more who voted for the other thing. And then I was like, oh no, but then
dilemma. But you can just do the other one in the future.
Yeah, and it's fine because we got four votes in a 50-50 split, so it turns out it was my choice anyway. So yeah, so I am going to be doing People's Temple, also known as Jonestown.
Okay, cool. You're so excited for
this. I know,
this.
It's so, like, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
That's the best, right?
Go on. So the full name of it is the People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ. So I've already got some religion in there. And I've just put like a little reference note. I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. I'm an atheist. I don't know what you're like. I think you're also an atheist or an agnostic at least.
Yeah, probably that end of the spectrum anyway.
So neither of us are religious. So I find this kind of hard to, like, I couldn't picture myself joining this.
Okay, yeah.
But then I could just as easily get sucked into a non-religious cult, so I'm not saying that I'm above
everyone else's behaviour.
I'm just saying that this cult is more for religious people. So it was founded in 1955 by someone called Jim Jones, and he founded it in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the beliefs of the People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ, which is a long name, so I'm going to call it the People's Temple, probably, or Jonestown. I'll shift between the two. So their beliefs combined Christianity with like communism and socialism.
Okay.
Which is a strange,
interesting,
slightly weird combination. I guess socialism is like,
so what are their beliefs?
So they have like a massive thing, racial equality.
Oh.
Which, like,
it's not a bad cult policy.
No, that's a pretty decent cult policy, but it was obviously kind of like around the second Red Scare kind of period.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So basically, communism and socialism weren't accepted anywhere, especially in religion.
Okay.
Which is why it was so popular, because a lot of people were socialists, but they also believed in God, but this was the only thing for them.
Oh, so it was like something for their identity.
Yeah, like a niche.
Yeah.
Well, not even that niche, but
American people, did you know, in so many TV shows, say niche.
Ugh.
I
hate when people say, I would say cachet. Like, C-A-C-H-E.
Yeah.
I hate when people say catch.
Oh, no.
Someone I know used to say,
I've heard cash and cachet.
Yeah.
Catch.
Yeah, catchy.
Niche. Whenever people say that, I have to just take a minute to, like,
contain that anger.
No, I just need to understand what they've said, because obviously it's so different to niche. Like, I have to be like, what was that word? Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, now we've included everyone, so however you say it. So they were responsible for, are you ready? This is
okay, I'm ready.
Shooketh. No.
The shooketh. Shookening part.
They were responsible. We're trying to be like down with the kids. I said
bougie
last episode, even though that's not really a thing people say anymore, but I'm trying. So they were responsible for the greatest single loss of American civilian life in a deliberate act before 9/11. So 9/11 is now like the reigning champion.
If you can put it like that.
Yeah.
Talking about 9/11 and champions, I forgot. And I just, it just brought it back to me the other day. I saw something on Instagram when Trump said that thing
about... Oh my God, 9/11. Oh, what?
No, no, not the things...
7/11, that thing.
No. Oh, that was another thing. When we were looking at Trump quotes, like, yeah. last year. I don't know if you know this.
He said the brave firefighters of 7/11.
Okay. Anyway, no, he was just saying, like, well... Trump Tower used to be the second biggest, and now it's the first biggest, because 9/11, yes.
And as well, he went to a, like, a memoriam event, and he fist-pumped as he walked in.
Oh, no way.
And I don't know what he was trying to, like...
I thought you were going to say that woman who he was a 9/11 survivor
and
he went,
that's nice, sweetie.
Oh, this isn't even funny. It's beyond, like, normal human behaviour, anyway. Yeah.
But apparently it peaked at 20,000 members.
Oh, wow.
But
I suppose that's not loads compared to the population, but it's still
not
quite
really.
A lot.
Apparently it was only like 3,000 to 5,000.
Oh.
But as we like to know, people like to exaggerate things.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, they probably didn't have... I mean, 3,000 to 5,000 is still a significant amount, but...
Do you know how many were in the Manson cult?
I thought barely any. I thought like 7.
I suppose that was like...
That seems not correct. So, Manson's cult had approximately 100, after we've just Googled that. So, 3,000 to 5,000 for a cult is pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Not impressive, but...
Well, to be able to amass that kind of a following is impressive.
At the start, it seems impressive. So, they had a lot of political connections as well, so they were fairly influential.
Okay, yeah.
Jim Jones, a cult leader, and a cult beginning in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim Jones was a communist... who basically was, like, frustrated with how communists were shunned.
Oh, yeah.
Red Scare. So, yeah, he didn't like that they were being neglected.
Yeah.
And he was introduced to, like, religion and Christianity especially by a Methodist superintendent.
Okay.
So someone that is in the church, fairly high up.
Yeah.
In 1952, he became a student pastor at the Somerset Southside Methodist Church in Indianapolis.
Mm.
However, he left because they wouldn't accept, like, they wouldn't integrate African Americans into the congregation. So he left as, like, a strike type.
Oh, that's quite nice.
He seems like...
He's got some good values.
Yeah, especially in the 50s where, like, everyone was racist. Like, he's pretty... decent-ish.
So far, he's pretty decent.
In 1954, he starts his own church in Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
Called Community Unity. That's strange. Community Unity Church. He believed in faith healing services, which...
What's that?
It's very strange. This is, like, one of the main parts of the cult. So, members of the public would pay, and... he would perform, like, a healing ritual.
Oh, okay.
And it obviously benefited the church because they were paying.
I watched this... Sorry.
That's okay.
To interrupt, but I watched this thing before. It was kind of... It just reminded me of it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what country it was in, but it was in a country which, you know, they're not doing that well
economically.
Economically. So this guy would... give, like, he was really good, he was a really good speaker at the church, and there was sort of, like, he had a sort of, like, cult of personality around him.
Yeah.
Like, he would, I can't remember where this was or, like, who it was or anything.
Is it Robert Mugabe?
No. But he would, like, collect money from them.
Yeah.
And he ended up being rich.
Oh. That's what, I didn't realise.
It was, like, a documentary.
So, like, I did this. I mean, obviously I knew that the church was wealthy.
Yeah.
But. The church is wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've seen... I watched The Keepers, which is
about... Oh, no, I haven't seen that. I've seen it, you know, load up on my Netflix.
Yeah,
but...
it's about a nun. And then I've also watched Spotlight, which is about... I mentioned it 4 million times.
That's
abuse
how I know
within the church.
Oh, of course,
and as well, obviously, there's been that massive scandal recently about the nuns that were abusing people in like foster homes, in orphanages.
Was aware.
A couple have just been charged with manslaughter or murder or something.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Oh god, literally. Right. Yeah. Not literally. That didn't make sense. Oh, something to do with God.
Yeah. Well, the church is not necessarily my number one fave.
No.
Organisation. Parts of it, I think, are good.
I suppose the foundation is good, but it's quite flawed.
Yeah, I think some people within it just get a bit power hungry.
Yeah. Shout out again to Cody Ko, because we watched that Girl Defined.
Oh, yeah, they were reaction super video. Religious.
But to the point of sexism.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's when you take every word of
sexism against, like, themselves.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But it's when you take...
If you take anything too literally...
Take the words of the Bible to be...
Gospel.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you can obviously do that if you want. It just means... Because there's some really bad stories.
Yeah.
I watched another reaction to that, and the woman said Jesus was a feminist.
Oh.
So that's why she... Because she said she didn't like... She was a Christian, but she didn't like...
Yeah,
their
interpretation.
Interpretation of it. And she said her interpretation is that he... Because apparently there's a story in there as well where... Because the women were supposed to be cleaning and everything at the time. That he was talking to a group of men and he said, like, the women will come and sit down and listen to me.
Yeah, too. No, there's like, a Riz Ahmed song called Sour Times, which is about... It was written after 9/11 terror attacks because he's Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And he... says something like, I think it's interpretations always change the day they're read with rage. So it's basically about, like, not all Muslims are terrorists, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just depends how you're reading.
Yeah.
The Bible. Yeah. Because the Quran is like a pacifist thing mostly. Yeah. So it just depends on your own interpretations, obviously. Yeah. So these, like, faith healing services, he would fake them. So they would, like, a ritual type thing. So it would generate money, which he did give to the poor.
Okay, so in some ways.
Bit of a Robin Hood type.
Yeah, yeah.
And it advanced the church, obviously, financially. So they would use things like chicken liver and animal tissue. So if someone came in and they had cancer, he would perform a ritual healing. God. And then hold, like, a chicken liver and be like, these are all the cancerous tissues, I've healed you.
Oh, no, that's awful. I thought you meant, like, emotional healing, because sometimes...
Oh, yeah, no,
that could actually work in,
In Arrested Development.
What's... Wait, what's that?
When they all go to the...
Not what's Arrested Development.
Oh, no, when they... The dad starts doing that thing where they all go into that cave in, like, Mexico... Oh. And
I think
sweat, and it's like a soul
sweat lodge.
Yeah, sweat lodge,
yeah.
And soul cycle is supposed to be like emotional healing, but this is like...
I was just going to say, you know, when you... What's the word when you take a pill and it's like a...
Placebo.
Placebo. There can be like, I suppose, placebo effect from if it was emotional, but you can't have that on cancer
No,
tissues.
He's pretending that he's curing people with cancer.
That's a bit... That's too much, because... Well, how are they believing that?
It's the 50s.
But they're not cured of cancer.
But if you believe in God enough...
No, I know. You can obviously believe it in the moment. But how does he sustain it when they come back and they're like, well, actually, I still have
just
cancer, surprisingly.
I don't know. He does somehow. So in 1956, so this is like 4 years since he started getting introduced to religion, he buys a church called the Wings of Deliverance... which was a church that was located in a racially mixed Indianapolis neighborhood. So part of the reason he bought it is because it was a diverse community. Is that what I'm looking for?
Was he trying to integrate it or something?
So that, I'll come on to that.
Well, that's quite decent intentions to have.
Yeah. He did want integration, which is good.
Well, yeah.
So... The Wings of Deliverance was later renamed the People's Temple Full Gospel Church.
Okay.
And this, like, temple, People's Temple, organised large religious conventions.
Yeah.
Like TanaCon, but for religion. And
And hopefully they went better than TanaCon.
I don't know. So, he would have like it was organized with Pentecostal pastors, and I googled what Pentecostal means. It's like a sub, it's basically the same as like Jehovah's Witness or Quakers. Like it's like a subset of, I think it's Protestant, but don't quote me on that. It's like a small group within Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So they organized it with him. And some of these conventions got 11,000 guests.
Wow.
That's more successful really than TanaCon.
Yeah. So, wait, no, she had guests, didn't she?
She had like 5,000.
Oh, I thought she had more guests. It just,
she said she had like 20,000. But
when they turned up, it was just, I thought that was shambles. A disappointment. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, she was like, oh, we couldn't handle it because we had 20,000 people. But if you look at video footage, it's not.
Not, yeah.
So Jim Jones, along with these Pentecostal pastors, would conduct healings. And this is really bizarre. Basically, in order to make themselves look spiritual and like on in a realm of godliness type.
Yeah.
They would reveal some of the attendees in like in front of a crowd.
Mm.
They would reveal their private information, an individual's private information, such as addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, and things like that.
You can, I think you can steal someone's identity with social security number.
Yeah, you can.
That's a bit.
And as well, I don't think you can get it changed. Maybe, or you must be able to somehow.
Mm. Oh, if you have your identity stolen, then I'm sure you can.
Yeah, so he used to do that. And then obviously, if you'd gone to that convention and then he was like, oh, I know your address, you'd be like, wow, he's a man of God.
Wait, so how, I'm so confused, how did he find out the information?
He hired private investigators.
Oh, that's, oh, okay, yeah.
Who would find it out beforehand.
And then he would reveal it and be like, oh, I knew this about you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which is super creepy if you think about it. Yeah. Yeah, it is actually. But he hid, like, his social goals, aka to be famous, behind his religion. So he used to use religion to advance himself socially.
Mm. Oh, also, you know you said he gave the money to charity?
Yeah.
Those PIs must have cost a bit
of
money, so...
Not all of it went to charity.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not the best man. However, the People's Temple did actually do a lot to support the poorest in society.
Okay, yeah.
So everyone that was a member of the church had to wear casual clothes so that no one felt out of place.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's a bit like a school uniform.
Yeah.
But also, the thing, if you've seen like the Rajneesh, which is from Wild Wild Country.
I haven't
they
seen
They all have to wear red. So that is part of the thing of the cult, is that you take away people's person.
Okay.
A way that cult leaders make people believe in them more is you take away them being able to make a conscious decision.
Yeah.
So they're no longer able to choose what they want to wear. Someone's choosing it for them. And then that's like the first step in then getting them,
that's
like,
mind
brainwashing them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's African American membership went from 15% to 50%. So literally half and half split. Yeah. Which led to Jones hiring someone called Archie Idgems.
Mm-hmm.
Who was an African-American preacher. And then that obviously helped boost that because they were being represented. In 1959, the People's Temple joins the Christian Church. So, like, I guess officially becomes a member or something. And becomes renamed to the People's Temple Christian Church Full Gospel.
Okay.
Which they did that in order to boost membership somehow. Yeah, I guess it makes it look like more legit or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So in February 1960, they opened a soup kitchen, which was eventually serving 2,800 meals a month.
Wow, that's quite significant.
Yeah, exactly. They were also providing rent assistance, job placement services, free canned goods, clothing, and coal during the winter.
Wow.
So that's why a lot of people joined them, because obviously someone is supporting you.
Yeah, if you and need help.
Yeah, and if you're religious anyway, and you're already going to church, why not go to a church that's also going to benefit you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, that was...
Wait, so is it communist at this point?
It's always kind of been communist, but it's not like openly communist. But it's not communist. Their like, main message. No, that's not like their branding.
Because I was thinking that might prevent some people
no,
at the time.
it comes into it more as it grows.
I see, yeah.
Yeah. And Jim Jones was then appointed to the Indianapolis Human Rights Commission.
Yeah.
Somehow, which I guess because he's being a nice guy or whatever. But that further increased membership because he was, like, prominent in, like, the media and was obviously in Indianapolis was quite famous and things like that. So that helped. And Jones admired someone called Father Divine, who founded the International Peace Mission Movement.
Mm.
And they had actually met several times. And one of, like, the things that Jones encouraged, if you were a cult... Well, not cult at this point. Yeah. If you were a member of People's Temple, he encouraged you to abstain from sex and adopt children instead so that the population isn't growing and people that don't have a home have a home.
Is that abstaining from sex, like, is that also because it's, like, sinful? Or is that just for the
I think
purposes?
It's just reproductive. I think they would just say...
That's an interesting...
Yeah, in a way I think it's... Because then it's, like... helping children.
I always used to think that, like, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Why don't people just adopt? But then, obviously, then you realise when you're older that it's a really difficult process and you want the, sometimes, the emotional connection of carrying a child, but still.
Yeah.
It is weird, isn't it?
But that message, or that belief, or whatever, followed Father Divine's texts, so he'd written about it.
Yeah.
And then Jones kind of implemented it, or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
So in 1959, he was inspired by Father Divine, and he preached in the Delaware Street Temple, which created, like, an us versus them belief.
Oh, okay.
So people in the church, so because of the socialism and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It started to create, like, a... They felt like they were being attacked for being members of people's... for being socialist. Yeah, yeah. So they started to get a bit defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Jones wanted to support the elderly and would quote the Acts of the Apostles in order to portray Jesus as a communist, which is, like we were saying earlier, like, different interpretations.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was trying to convince people that Jesus was a communist.
Okay.
But while he was trying to make people believe that, he was also attacking the Bible. So he was pointing out flaws in the Bible.
Mm.
It's very bizarre. Temple members were instructed to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas with the church, so further withdrawing your control over your own life.
Yeah. And taking them away from family and friends and stuff.
Yeah,
sort of
isolating
them.
This isolated members and meant that they were more committed to People's Temple because they were isolated.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you can't be fully solitary, so you turn towards someone. Many members could donate material possessions in exchange for aid from the church. So he would say, oh, we'll give you food if you give us this painting. Or so they aren't very charitable. Like, not...
You do have to trade stuff
over
it.
It's not a exchange. It's not a free gift out of the kindness of his heart. In 1960, he travelled to Cuba to try and convince Cubans to join the cult, because Fidel Castro had been really successful, obviously, as, like, a communist.
Yeah.
So he was like, perfect, you know what they'll love? My church.
Yeah, yeah.
So
quite a smart move.
Yeah. Basically, like we do, when people are like, tweet that they like My Favourite Murder, we're like, listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't work. So in 1961, he claimed that he had had a vision of Chicago and Indianapolis being destroyed in a nuclear attack.
Okay.
Because he's been enlightened.
What was his aim there?
So he proposed them moving out of Indianapolis, basically.
Okay. Oh, was he trying to, like, take them away?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
In 1962, Esquire magazine...
Yeah, yeah.
...published a list of the 9 safest places that people could go during a potential nuclear war.
Oh, so even the media has...
Well, because obviously...
Oh, because there was, of course.
Hiroshima and things, so...
And
Russia.
The, what is it?
Cold War.
Arms race.
Yeah.
Cold War, yeah.
So okay. People were basically afraid of nuclear
obviously,
war.
Obviously, yeah, they were already worried.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying that.
Which is why he had this vision.
Yeah.
So the like top of these safest places was Belo Horizonte in Brazil.
Okay, yeah.
So Jones visited Brazil from 1962 to 63, but because he wasn't at the temple, they were losing profits because he was like
the person media, doing all the things. Yeah. I was trying to get into words and I just went, the person doing all the things. Sorry, not very helpful.
So they couldn't fund him while he was away, so he basically had to come back to America. Mm. So the California division of this People's Temple. So during the 60s, he preached that members of the People's Temple contained the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And also preached that he was a special manifestation of Christ the Revolution, I've put. That might mean to say Christ the Redeemer.
Okay.
Let me just see if I can find... Oh no, it says Christ the Revolution.
Oh, it literally is. Okay.
So whoever wrote that Wikipedia article, even though I'm relying on you, I don't know what you meant. He preached that the US was the Antichrist and capitalism was the Antichrist system.
Oh, oops. It's like fully against us each other now. Them. Yeah.
He also warned of a nuclear holocaust, which I've put, which we thought would believe a... Sorry? We? Which would, like, make the land flat again and would leave Eden, as in the Bible. Yeah.
Wouldn't it just maybe leave the earth flat but also kill everyone on it?
So he believed that that was going to happen on the 15th of July, 1967.
Oh, wow, very precise.
Yeah, I know, I put a note, I don't know why he felt that date specifically, but I guess he'd had his
Did
vision.
Did he genuinely believe this? All of this?
I don't think a lot of it.
Okay, yeah.
So he suggested that they move to Redwood Valley, California to avoid this nuclear holocaust.
How is that going to help you avoid it?
Also, sorry, science-y, but nuclear blasts go, like, massively far.
Yeah, exactly. How is it going to help you? Because you're... Yeah. Unless it was part of his vision that... Or he was just using it to get them out, basically. Because, although, to be fair, at the time... Do you remember when we learned all that stuff in history? They thought putting a table over you would protect you. So they probably think, because they don't know the full science about it, because it was current technology being developed.
Yeah, and as well, you just want to feel like you're doing something. Like, some people knew that you wouldn't survive with the table over you, but you probably just want to
as much protection
feel like
as possible.
You
yeah.
can control it, but it's such like an out of... the ordinary thing. So in July 1965, they had 140 followers and 50% were African American.
Oh, okay.
So it's still a 50-50 split. And they moved to Redwood Valley, California, and opened a church.
Mm-hmm.
Jones was still discrediting Christianity and he called it a flyaway religion.
What does that mean?
That basically it's like a point, like a flyaway, like it is nothingy and a bit airy-fairy, I think. He blamed the Bible for white men's justification to dominate women and enslave people of colour. Which, it depends how you interpret it, but you could read it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
He published something called The Letter Killeth, which, like, was a whole thing discrediting the Bible by pointing out its flaws, but it also pointed out the things that the Bible was correct about. So basically it was like a book review of the Bible.
Okay, yeah.
The Bible believed in a sky god and a buzzard god who, quote, was no god at all, end quote.
Interesting.
So he thought that the divine principle was love, which love equals socialism. So basically he was like linking it back to himself. It began preaching, or the temple began preaching in San Francisco and LA in 1970. And a permanent residence was established in San Fran, which is how I'm going to say San Francisco, because I'm lazy, in 1971, and LA in 1972.
So he is managing to move out to California. Wow. To be fair, I know you said he didn't get that many like followers, but he's pretty successful in his aims.
I know,
like,
he seems
like a smart guy, he's making the right moves.
Yeah, it always seems like when I was reading about it, in my head it felt like there was a lot more members than there were. Like, 140 isn't that many.
No, not.
But then if you compare it to Manson, it is.
Yeah.
But, like, the Rajneeshis had, like, tens of thousands. So that's not... I don't know, it's so bizarre. And, like, why is one cult leader way more successful than... Well, it depends what you define as success.
About. Oh, yeah. We were going for different things. Yeah.
Redwood Valley became known as the, quote, mother church, end quote, within the temple community by 1972. So basically it was, like, seen as the founder, even though it started in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
The LA base allowed them to make fortnightly, which I didn't realise in America they don't have a word for fortnight, so...
Really?
Yeah, I saw it the other day. Two weekly. Crazy.
Two weekly? Really? Not even bi-weekly? Oh no, bi-weekly means every...
twice a week.
Yeah.
They made fortnightly recruitment trips across California, which helped finance the church because more people were joining.
Mm.
But I guess he must have had to pay an entrance fee.
Yeah.
So this LA base was on the corner of Alvarado and Hoover. Hoover?
Wow.
Allowing for a large African-American membership. So these recruitment drives across California meant that they had almost 3,000 members by the mid-70s. Insane.
Wow, that is a lot.
So this, I didn't know what to header this section, so I've put People's Temple and its structures. So... mind control and behaviour modification techniques, which were used in China and North Korea, were used unknowingly on members.
Oh, God.
Or, like, the, obviously the people doing it knew they were doing
it,
but victims didn't. So you, at the top of this hierarchy, you've got temple staff. So these were 8 to 10 college-educated women in charge of temple missions. Yeah. So some of the members were Sandy Bradshaw, who was 24 from New York, Carolyn Layton, who was 31, and also had a child with Jim Jones, the founder.
I thought he wanted people to adopt.
True. Hmm. Yeah. And they were quite elitist, so not everyone got on with them.
Okay.
So then, like, the second prong down from, rung, down from that is the Temple Planning Commission, which was a governing board consisting of around 100 members.
Wow, they're really organised.
I know, which met weekly, and they were in charge of the financial and legal decisions.
God.
Yeah. So they oversaw the Diversions Committee, which wrote letters to politicians, and the Myrtles Committee, which was against traitors Al and Jeannie Mills. So they were ex-members. So there was like a Myrtles Committee who... were against them, basically. I don't know
that what... must scare you from, like, deter you from leaving yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And then you've got the troops, who were, like, the normal people,
mm-hmm.
who were the working class members, who were 70 to 80% black. So although he is inclusive in the 50-50 split,
yeah,
they're very heavily, like, a lot of their leadership positions are white people, so he's inclusive. Yeah. It kind of seems like he's just getting them in just because he wants...
What is it, tokenism to get...
Yeah, in? Like, he just wants a big cult, so he's like, everyone I can get, basically.
That's a shame, it kind of undermines his... Exactly. He had good values, but...
Well...
Well, no, in theory it seemed like he values, did, but that kind of undermines that.
So these troops did menial tasks, like setting up chairs before the meetings...
Well, that's not too bad.
Hmm. And they were attracted by the socialism combined with religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, finally, a group of white, privileged 20 to 30-year-old men, I put in brackets, lovely, straight white male, who were lawyers, accountants, nurses, teachers, musicians, and administrators. And they were in charge of public relations, finance... And also, they contributed financially because of their careers outside of the cult.
Okay, yeah.
They can put a lot of money in.
It's really strange. I know 3,000 is quite a lot of members, but for that much organisation and structure, it feels like you almost shouldn't need...
Yeah.
I suppose he's clearly planning for a bigger membership.
He wants a hierarchy membership as well. He wants himself to be at the top.
Oh, I see. So. It's just funny because, like, it doesn't seem very... I know you kind of have to have organisation at some point, but it doesn't seem like very just pure church thing where people come to be
part of it and just... It,
it's like it has to be like a whole
business almost.
Yeah, it's just weird to have so many departments on there.
I know. So when they went on recruitment and fundraising drives, they used 15 like Greyhound type buses.
Mm-hmm.
And these used to go across California, and Jones could always be found on bus 7, which contained armed guards and protective metal plates.
Oh, God.
And why would he need these if he wasn't doing something sketchy?
Also, it just makes him seem really important.
Yeah.
When he's not, I suppose, that important at this point. Exactly.
Well, I guess he was on the, like, yeah, Human Rights Commission. Yeah, no, I see what you mean,
though. Okay, yeah.
And the trips wouldn't occur, so these, like, recruitment and fundraising drives, they wouldn't go ahead unless they believed that they could earn $100,000.
Oh, my God.
And the annual goal was $1 million, which the church is wealthy, because this is 3,000 members.
But they're going on full-on recruitment drives and everything. They're trying to...
Yeah, true, they're trying to amass the wealth. So from the 1970s... they also, like, spread these drives out quarterly in places like Washington, D.C., Houston, Detroit, and Cleveland. So, mm-hmm. like, spread themselves out to try and increase membership. And members of the temple would advertise the fake healings by acting as shills. And I had to Google what a shill is.
Mm.
So, basically, they would advertise this healing... And yeah. then they would go up to people and be like, oh, I just went to this thing, you should try it, it was so good.
I see.
And then they pretend that they're not a member that...
Yeah, yeah, okay,
it's basically yeah. like, almost like a secret... It's basically like if I went into the restaurant I work at...
Like fake reviews.
Yeah, fake reviews.
Yeah.
So it's like yeah. if I went up to people outside my restaurant and went, oh my God, this is my favourite restaurant.
Yeah.
But I work there type thing. So I used to do that. And from healing services, in LA alone, they were earning $15,000 to $25,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
And then in San Fran, $8,000 to $12,000 a week.
Okay, damn.
Yeah. So, like, combined, that's, like, that's 22 really cool. minimum, 37 maximum.
Yeah, wow.
A week.
And they're fake as well.
Yeah. Insane.
How do they get so many... people to like participate
because you go once I guess same with like how do tarot card readers or how do psychics
I know but that must be more expensive
yeah
because a tarot card or psychic for a lot of people is just like a bit of novelty
a bit of fun yeah
yeah but that oh do they pay that amount or do they not the full amount obviously but do they pay for it or is it like donations from people seeing it or something
I
do they
know.
Literally just have to pay a huge lump sum?
I think it was you pay. I don't think it was that much, but...
Okay, I was just thinking...
It might have been, like, $50.
Oh, okay.
That still is quite a lot. Anyway. Well,
they'd have to fit so many in
yeah,
if it was $50.
I don't know fully. And they also set up something called Truth Enterprises, which was a direct mailing company.
Mm-hmm.
And that sent 30,000 to 50,000 letters each month to people who had either gone to a service... or written to the temple.
Oh, wow.
And then people could fill out the envelope or whatever and send donations back.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there was motive there. Yeah.
Yeah, at its peak, that was getting them $300 to $400 daily.
Daily? Wow.
But also, that's a lot of letters to post. Like,
yeah.
Trinkets such as Jones's old robes, healing oil, rings, keychains and lockets were sold. He also began selling pictures of himself, even though initially he didn't want to because he didn't want to be seen as, like, he didn't want to put himself on a worshipable...
Oh, because that's one of the 10 commandments, isn't it?
What?
That you shouldn't... I think it's, like, look up to anyone else, like God or something.
Yeah,
it's
he
not,
didn't
obviously,
want that.
He didn't write... I mean, the actual commandment isn't that.
Yeah.
But,
and they also formed Brotherhood Records in 1973... which produced records from the temple orchestra and choir.
Wow.
So basically, lots of stuff going on.
He's actually... I mean, he's quite a good businessman.
Yeah.
He's really... He's grinding away, trying to make money.
So it's believed to have 3,000 members, claimed to be 20,000, but, like, after everything went down. They found 5,000 membership cards.
Okay,
so it could
yeah.
have been $5,000. And the services... $5,000, sorry. Yeah. The services in San Fran had an average of 3,000 attendees on...
Okay.
Like,
well,
each
yeah.
service. Because obviously not all of them have to be members.
Yeah. That's impressive. Really impressive.
They'd begun to spread across the UK, including cities like Bakersfield, Fresno, and Sacramento, which I think are all in...
What?
Most of those are in California.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not the UK.
I said the US, didn't I?
No.
I meant the US.
I was thinking, really?
They also had a branch, like a building,
mm-hmm.
a college tuition program, and dormitory at Santa Rosa Junior College.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. In the 1970s, they ran more than 9 residential care homes for the elderly, 6 homes for foster children, and they had a 40-acre ranch for people with learning difficulties.
Jesus, that's quite nice. I know they're doing a lot of it for profit, but they set up quite nice things. Oh, is it not nice? Or something?
Just wait till the thing that it's famous for.
Ah, okay.
Just reminding you again that it was the biggest loss of American life before 9/11.
Yes, that did slip my mind. Okay.
So, some of the defections, who I had to Google, people who left.
Mm-hmm.
In 1973, they had the Gang of Eight. Well, that was like what they became known as.
The ones who left?
Yeah.
So barely anyone left?
What? No, that was just some of the people that left when there was a group called the Gang of Eight who all left together.
Yeah.
And they assumed that Jones would send a search party, which he did, which is terrifying.
Sorry, are they like living as part of this cult?
Yeah.
Where? Like in the church, or do they have their
just,
own building?
I think just like with him in that Redwood Valley place, like
as in they have their own home and everything.
I think so, but he like took them with them. I don't know.
It's just weird out of 3,000 that you'd send a search party for 8 people. How would you know? Is that like a register?
Yeah. Yeah, true. So part of the search party was a rented aeroplane, which he used to watch highways.
What the hell?
That's think
dedicated.
How much that would be to rent. Yeah. So the Gang of Eight escaped driving in 3 trucks, which were filled with firearms.
Oh, they really had to escape? Wow.
Yeah. So the trucks were filled with firearms, and they drove towards Canada, avoiding Highway 101.
Mm-hmm.
But originally they had planned to go to Canada, but they were afraid, obviously, they had 3 trucks containing firearms.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So they ended up settling in Montana Hills.
Yeah.
And later, after they, like, felt that they were safe.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Wow, that's quite scary.
They published documentation of the problems with the People's Temple.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And apparently, Jones had called 30 members to his home and declared that because of the Gang of Eight, they should commit mass suicide.
Okay. Yes. Right, this is where it starts to get...
And leave a suicide note claiming that they were being harassed for being socialists. So basically, like, throw the blame on society.
Yeah. God.
That never occurred, although they did attempt several fake ritual, like suicide rituals. Mm-hmm. So the San Fran Temple, Jones was, by 1976, he had begun saying he was an atheist.
Yeah.
And his wife, Marcy, said that his idol was Mao Zedong.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Who had changed the future via religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not the best idol. In the 70s, many politicians supported the temple, e.g. the mayor of San Francisco, George Moscone.
Yeah.
So, like, fairly high up. Same with, like, the KKK when we did that. That was crazy.
It's weird what people will endorse and get
away
with.
So, when they moved to San Fran, they were included in quite a few popular newspapers, so, like, boosted their media image.
Yeah.
So they were basically... influences.
I'm surprised they get so much attention and like promotion when most of America, I suppose it's a bit later now, isn't it? Is it 70s now?
Yeah, 70s.
But still, 76. Most of America is still probably going to be, you know, remembering the whole communist scare and everything.
Yeah.
And it is still quite capitalist, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not really a communist.
Well, they still are, really.
Well, it is, yeah. Capitalist country.
So, Jonestown, which is... it's like blaze of glory.
Okay.
In 1974, People's Temple signed a lease for land in Guyana, which is in South America.
Mm-hmm.
And they renamed it Jonestown. Well, I think that was what it was called by... that was like his nickname or whatever.
Yeah.
So in 1977... it had 50 residents, and he had intended it to be a socialist paradise, and also it was supposed to protect them from from investigative reporters, because I didn't bother including these because too much info.
Yeah.
But basically, he had several things where investigative reporters were publishing expose-type articles.
Oh.
Shedding bad light on the temple, so they were trying to move there to escape.
Yeah.
And by late 1978, over 900 had moved there after he moved there.
Can't believe that. You just uproot.
So he moved there to escape the media. Really dedicated, and they followed. On November 17th, 1978, US Congressman Leo Ryan and a reporting team from an area of San Fran... so, I've put this... this is too long of a sentence. So... US Congressman Leo Ryan and this reporting team visit Jonestown, but they were from San Francisco, and the area of San Fran that they were from had been investigating abuse claims within the temple.
Okay.
Basically, he was like, oh no,
these
reporters are coming for me. On November 18th, 1978, the Congressman Leo Ryan leaves with several members of the People's Temple, to Port Kaituma airstrip. However, temple security guards intercept them and open fire.
Oh my god, whoa.
Ryan, three journalists, and one of the defectors were killed, with one of the deceased journalists recording the gunfire before his death because he was carrying a camera.
Oh my god, whoa.
But... it's, like, extra heartbreaking because, like, they went there to try and do a good thing and, like...
yeah, and expose
let people
them, yeah.
know of this horrible man, and then turns out he's even more horrible than...
wow, yeah.
Yeah. In the evening, Jones ordered his congregation to drink cyanide-laced grape-flavoured Kool-Aid... Flavor-Aid, which is a subsection of Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, how many people did he ask to do that?
The entire congregation.
Oh, wow.
So that's 900 people that are there, so 900 people.
Do they all do it?
Prior to this, he had suggested mass suicides and had made them drink a punch, which he said was spiked with cyanide. And once they all drank it, he told them he had lied, and it was to test their loyalty, didn't drink it...
well, what did he do?
I don't know. But
you're giving me a look like... oh, like... they were in trouble.
But
well, they probably got at least kicked out.
Well, some of the ones that didn't drink the one that was actually laced with cyanide had marks of being forcibly injected.
Ew.
There was loads of needles.
Oh, but they were... when they were dead or something?
What?
As in...
no, they didn't drink the punch.
Yeah, but then the people looking at their dead bodies saw that they'd been injected with needles? Or
yeah,
they got away?
Yeah, the people looking at their dead bodies...
Jesus.
So they'd been forcibly injected, I know. Jim Jones shot and killed himself. 918 people died.
God, imagine doing that for your cult.
Yeah, but you've just been so brainwashed.
Of course, yeah. I'm just saying, imagine getting to that point.
I know.
Like how...
but I think it gets to a point where you can't leave, and then you just... it just, like, snowballs, and you can't...
I suppose then you know you're at risk of being killed anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that how powerful must that make you feel as well?
I know.
For him.
Yeah, he sounds like a...
because he clearly wanted that if he wanted to be famous and everything.
Well, 276 of them were children.
Oh, why would you bring your children into that?
Because you think it's going to be a socialist paradise. And you... no, but he's convinced you... that you're escaping nuclear holocaust.
I suppose, yeah, of course.
So you think you're protecting your children.
And then you're... because I was just going to say, why couldn't you go elsewhere? But then you don't know anyone. But you've got a community with your values. Still,
So that meant it became the greatest single loss of American civilian life. until 2001, obviously with 9/11. So, surviving members who had escaped were afraid of being targeted by surviving Jonestown members.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw an interview with this woman called Wagner Wilson, and she had a 3-year-old daughter, and she didn't drink the punch, and she carried this daughter to safety by trekking through 30 miles of dense rainforest and jungle.
Whoa. Oh my god.
And she was interviewed on Today
USA.
I mean,
where did they end up? Where was she?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, like, that's too specific, but...
But, like, South America's really hot as well. You're in jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know where you're going.
You also don't know what else is, like, in the jungle with you, because there's poisonous things. And
exactly,
everything.
And as well, she probably had no idea where she was running to. You're just running.
Going, yeah.
And 30 miles, I couldn't do that on flat land. This is, like, hilly.
So she's running the whole thing.
Or it just says that she trekked.
Okay, even but, like, tracking, speed, though, yeah. Yeah, because you're trying to get away, aren't you? Yeah.
So she was interviewed on Today USA, and she said that she was afraid that someone was going to snipe her, like, the entire time, which is why she just kept going, because, like, when she wanted to, when she wanted to stop and catch her breath.
Because how long must that be as well?
Exactly, how many hours that?
Yeah.
But she said she didn't know if someone had followed her, and they were taunting her. So she just kept, I know, it's insane. She was like, oh my god. What an inspiring woman. So apparently there were, quote, 120 white brainwashed assassins out from Jonestown awaiting the trigger word to pick up their hit. So, like, people that had survived but were still members of the cult were waiting to be told to kill off the ones that had escaped.
Wait, but who was going to tell them?
I don't know. Good question.
Maybe some of the leadership was still alive.
So Michael Prokes, who was a temple member, had been ordered to deliver a suitcase containing money to the community party, that should say communist party of the Soviet Union. And he committed suicide in March 1979.
Wow.
Prior to his death, he was sending letters to people, and, like, with the letters, there was a 30-page statement about the temple.
Yeah.
Which later got printed in the San Francisco Chronicle, which is the main one that reported on Zodiac as well.
Oh, cool.
So they are, like, in the...
Now we've got another link.
I know.
We're doing well.
They're, like, in the centre of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he arranged an interview in Modesto, California, and read a statement. It was, like, 8 minute in front of 8 reporters.
Yeah.
And read this statement about, like, the People's Temple.
Wow.
And he excused himself mid recording, went to the bathroom and shot himself.
No way.
Imagine being that reporter.
Oh god. That's so you're like, oh, he's not coming back, like.
Well, you would probably hear it.
Oh yeah, I don't know why I was thinking it would be far away in the building. Because if it's a big building.
I don't think it was.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn, yeah, that's worse.
Yeah. Defected member Harold Cordell lost 20 family members at the Jonestown suicide.
Wow.
People's Temple declared...
Wow, really?
Yeah. Wow. People's Temple declared bankruptcy in the end of 1978. On December 4th, 1978, Charles Gary petitioned to dissolve People's Temple, and that was granted in January 1979 by the San Fran Superior Court.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Mm.
Final members, like, after it got dissolved, stayed in Guyana until May 1979 to finish, like, sorting everything, so, like, documents and stuff, before they moved back to the US. And now, the LA, Indianapolis, and Redwood Valley buildings are still standing and are used by church congregations.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I feel slightly weird about. The San Fran building was destroyed in a Loma Prieta earthquake of 1989.
Okay.
And I was like, Loma Prieta. I recognise that name, so I googled it. The Loma Prieta Mountains were Ed Kemper's first victims.
Oh.
He left their bodies.
I said that like, oh, that's nice. That's not what I meant.
He left their bodies at the top of one of the mountains.
That's crazy. So,
a link. And FBI tapes are available to be listened to, including the 45-minute recording of the mass suicide.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yeah, I started it and then I was like, nope.
Was it difficult to listen to, or just...
No, it just... I just was like, I feel like I can't... I don't know. I feel like it's not disrespectful, but maybe... Because they didn't release them for a while. I was like, maybe this is... I didn't get to the point where they had started drinking. I was like, I can't... I don't want to get to that point, because then what do I do after? Like,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
So wow. That is Jonestown.
That was very interesting. You were right to hype it.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like...
Really insane.
It's so... I just can't, like, get over it. I can't believe I didn't know anything about it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's... Considering it's, like, before 9/11, the biggest ever... Yeah.
And as well, that lasted, they got that reputation for like 20 years-ish.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like, I suppose, actually, while you were still alive, and while I was alive,
yeah,
it was still the most. Yeah, by a couple months. No, a few months anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that.
That's okay. Hopefully I did it justice. Oh my god, my stuff.
Yeah, I think you did.
Do you have a teaser for your next one?
No, because I don't know what it is. But
we like to leave it till the last minute. That's okay.
Yeah, well, it'll probably be a little while till we record, so.
Yeah, because we're backing up episodes. Woo.
Yeah, trying to get them pre-recorded till the exam stress is piled on, so.
Yeah. Can't wait. Thank you very much for listening. And we will see you next week.
I thought you were talking to me.
No, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye.